Green jobs are here to stay. Why not go green with a degree in alternative energy here at Henry Ford Community College? Students will acquire knowledge in advanced fuel sources and the practice of alternative energy in the world. For more information on the Alternative Energy Program, please contact HFCC's Technology Division by calling 313-317-9816 or by going to hfcc.edu/programs.
You are round MVP.
Yeah, man. Yo, Drew, I finally got round MVP. Round MVP.
No way. That was some ownage. It's a good thing you got me as your wingman.
Right. You mean when you threw that flash grenade at me?
Whatever, man. Huge round. Seriously, great stuff.
Finally earning round MVP takes determination. So will getting into college. I've got what it takes.
All right, class. I'm going to pass back your tests. And a high score goes to... Brian.
Oh, yeah! High score, baby!
Visit knowhowtogo.org to learn what you should be doing right now to prepare for college. Start taking the steps at knowhowtogo.org.
I've got what it takes. So do you.
Brought to you by the American Council on Education, Lomina Foundation, and the Ag Council.
For more information in Michigan, visit knowhowtogomichigan.org. That's knowhowtogomichigan.org.
WHFR Dearborn. Now it's time for the public affairs show we have at WHFR. It's called the new WHFR Journal. Well, John, it's not the same. I was going to pod that down, but I decided just to kind of cut it short there. It's not the same as the traditional theme song that we have for the new WHFR Journal. Normally we have what sounds eerily similar to the theme from the TV show Bones. I don't know. Maybe there's a couple notes different. John, let's mess with your... I'm Dennis Reimers, the new WHFR Journal. I'm in studio with John Conroy, WHFR staff member. John, let's test your mic.
Okay.
I think we're good. Can you hear yourself?
Yeah. Yes, I can.
All right. Excellent. Excellent. John is a staff member here. How long have you been with our station?
I took the class TCM 189 in the spring.
Okay. So last spring?
Last spring.
Oh,
yeah.
Really? Like this?
This past spring.
Oh, no kidding. Okay. Yeah. So I swear I've seen you around here a lot more. It just seems that way. I'm messing with the dials here, folks, trying to get the volume just right. So we're here. You're familiar with the format of the journal. I know. I think you've even told me you've listened a couple times.
Yes, I definitely have heard you and Jay speak before, and it was very encouraging, and looking forward to doing it with you, Dennis.
Well, that's really interesting. So that does prove we have a listener.
Yes,
that's
you
out
do.
There.
Yes, you do.
I thought it was my wife, but I found out she wasn't. It wasn't her, so it was you. We got a lot of stuff going on today. We have a full slate. Obviously, the election is on Tuesday. We've been, John, if you've been listening, you know that we've had a number of challengers on for city council for Dearborn. And we tried to get the challenger for the mayor's, a candidate for mayor, Ed Binkley, but I couldn't get a hold of him. We went back and forth a couple times, and it just never worked itself out. But we have had, I think, all of the challengers for city council other than Susan DeBaja. She was the only one that we weren't able to schedule, and she and I talked, and just a gracious lady. Really, really enjoyed talking to her, but we couldn't get her on the air because of her schedule. And as we've talked about before, Dearborn Heights, I think they feel slighted there a little bit. We did have some candidates on Ned Apigian's show. He's a councilman in Dearborn Heights, and he also has Dearborn Heights News and Views, which is the second Tuesday of each month. And he had an opportunity to have Lisa Farrens and a couple other people that were running for Dearborn Heights City Council. And Janet Badlow, who's running for mayor. But there was no League of Women Voters forum for Dearborn Heights. I don't understand. I heard some people say it was because there wasn't enough, there wouldn't have been enough turnout, or they didn't have enough time to put it together. But whatever, they did not have that. But Dearborn has been getting a ton of exposure, all of the candidates, and we have just anything you could possibly need. John and I have collected all kinds of information. Some of it, unfortunately, may be redundant just because several of the writers in the area, Bob Oliver included, from the Dearborn Times-Herald, they did such a great job. Some of their stories have a little bit more than the others, so we're going to try to call what we can And we want to start with the Dearborn elections. Actually, I want to start. John and I are doing this show now. We, as opposed to previous hosts, John and I are just huge sports fans. And I wanted to just real quickly, briefly, because I know this is not a sports show. That's in the works, though, isn't it, John? Let's hope so.
Hope so.
But let's talk about this World Series that just ended. Did you predict that particular outcome?
I did. I was a Boston fan from the very beginning. I'm an American League guy first as well. But it was a great series, and great pitching usually overcomes whatever, big hitters even. We didn't have that many people hitting for great average, but we did have some guys come through in the clutch.
You say we. There's something else there. Yeah. I think, in interest of full disclosure, you're originally from the East Coast, aren't you?
I am from the New York area.
But you can't be a Boston fan then. When I lived out in New York, and there was they drew a line in the sand. You were not a New York fan if you lived in north of Stamford. No, not Stamford. What's Hartford? Right?
Hartford, right. I am a normally I am a New York fan, and I don't root for Boston. But for the World Series, I got to root for the American League team.
I see, and I don't disagree with you at all, especially after the series that Ortiz had. But I will say that the way the Cardinals played all year, I really thought that they had an advantage. It was a strong, strong team.
They were.
So anyway, and then the other thing I wanted to ask you about sports-wise, then we'll move on. What did you think of that? Did you watch the Lions game last Sunday hear about it?
Certainly. I watched the last, probably saw the replay 5 or 6 times at the end.
Well, let me tell you what happened to me, because this was very interesting. It was there was a minute 14 left in the game, and the Lions had just given up the ball on downs. Actually, not far from midfield. And I did what most Lions fans, I imagine, did. I saw people leaving for the exit, so I turned the TV off. My wife and I had planned. She said, as soon as this game is over, we're going to take the dog. We take him for a long couple-mile walk. And I said, sure, let's go. And we were rounding the corner in our neighborhood, and I was wearing my Lions shirt, as I am now. And this kid that I've met, he's in our neighborhood, and I met him. We just talked about sports. We talked about tennis a few times, and just in passing. Just hello, hi, good, because he sees me every day with the dog. He comes running out of his house. He says, Tell me you saw the last minute of the game. Tell me you saw the last few seconds. And I said, no, I turned it off with about a little over a minute left. He goes, they're playing the replay now. Come on in. So I run into this guy's house. Did I mention I don't really know him that well? Nice house, though, by the way. He's in there with a couple of his friends, and I got to watch the replay of Stafford just faking everybody and their mother out as he held the ball, looked like he was going to spike it, pushed it over the line, and then just for good measure ran around left end.
Yes.
And then I think he really spiked it, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
But if anybody didn't see it, check it out on YouTube. It was a great finish to the game. It didn't look like the Lions really had a chance against the Cowboys with all the turnovers and then the way they were playing at the end.
With 4 turnovers, you wouldn't think they'd have a chance in the football game.
That's only the second time since 2011. That a team has come back, has won with 4 or more turnovers. And that's the record for teams that are with 4 or more turnovers since 2011 is 2-54. That's incredible.
I kind of thought that some of Dallas's coaches' heads would roll when I heard that later they said they were unprepared for what Matthew Stafford did at the end there.
They were unprepared. It was obvious. Nobody had to tell us that. Anyway, as we promised, this is a Dearborn election edition of the new WHFR Journal. Real quickly here, and we got our information from, as always, DearbornPatch.com. The Dearborn Press and Guide, the Dearborn Times Herald. I did actually have a call in to a writer for the Dearborn Times Herald. His name is Bob Oliver. He's just a wonderful writer, and I see him at the city council meetings on a regular basis in Dearborn Heights. And I'll tell you what, he's a heck of a guy, and he's a heck of a writer, and we will have him on the show at some point in the near future, hopefully within the next couple of weeks, but he wasn't available today. It was really short notice anyway. Bob, and I apologize if you're listening. We'll figure it out. We'll get you on here because I love his writing, and he obviously is very prepared. Well, when I talked to him, I said, are you prepared to come on the radio and talk about this stuff? He said, absolutely. And he hasn't been on the radio before, so that's kind of fun. This particular article is from DearbornPatch.com, and it's Dearborn Elections, the basics. As always on the show, we'll highlight some of the things we're talking about. Except there are a couple editorials that I want to read verbatim. I don't want to do that all the time, and I definitely don't want to do that with the information on the candidates because there's a lot of stuff there. And as always, we encourage people, go out there, grab the papers, go online. PressingGuide.com, DownriverTimes.com, Dearborn.patch.com. They have all the information. I just print it out and I try to go over it quickly because we have only an hour. And a lot less than that now that we talked about sports, John. Anyway, the Dearborn election is the basic. Here's what voters need to know as they head out to the polls on Tuesday. That's Tuesday, November 5th. The city of Dearborn is holding the general election that day, and the ballot will include city official elections and ballot issues. The ballot includes the election of the mayor of Dearborn, as well as all 7 city council seats and the city clerk. There are 2 candidates for mayor, 14 for city council, and 2 for city clerk. Residents will also be asked to vote on a bond proposal for Dearborn Public Schools, as well as two millage proposals for Henry Ford Community College. The $76 million bond for the school district, if approved by voters, would be used for technology and security upgrades, repairs and additions to school facility grounds, and purchasing school buses. The 2 millage proposals on the ballot would determine future for HFCC. The first asked voters to decide whether to continue the existing 3 mills levied by the school district for general operating purposes for 10 years. The second asked voters whether to allow the school district to levy an additional mill for 5 years. The absentee ballots, so people know, are available through tomorrow. Only through tomorrow. Residents who are registered and qualified for an absentee ballot may apply for and be given their absentee ballot at City Hall office, the city clerk's office in City Hall. The clerk's office is open through 4:30 today, and I understand it'll also be open tomorrow from 9 to 2 to process absentee ballot applications. There's a number here. If you call 943, that's 313-943-2031, you can get more information and apply for find out more about applying for the absentee ballot. And the polls are open on the 5th at 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. on Tuesday the 5th. And completed absentee ballots can be turned into the clerk's office until 8 that day, 8 p.m. And voters are reminded to complete both sides of the ballot. To check a voter's registration status, precinct number and location, absentee eligibility, or other information online, visit www.michigan.gov/vote. Or you can call the clerk's office again at 313-943-2032. Okay. So anyway, that's all the things. It's Tuesday. You got your times. Most people know where to go. If not, it's easy to find out where you go to vote. Do you vote, John?
Certainly. Always.
Do you?
Yes.
And do you wear the little thing afterward that said I voted today?
Wear it proudly.
Yeah, okay. And I like that people do that. I really do. Yeah. I don't like when I found out a couple times that people wore them when they didn't vote, and I didn't really understand that, you know, but that's how it is. You brought in this paper. It's the Pressing Guide. In fact, you know what? I'm going to get to this after. We're going to take a short non-commercial break in a few minutes. And this is something I believe, what I'm pointing at now is the opinion page of the Pressing Guide from this past Wednesday. At the top of the page, it says, vote no on Community College's Proposal 2. And that's a guest writer, a guest editorial by Carl Myers. He's a lifelong Dearborn resident. And then underneath that, it has an editorial. It doesn't have a byline, but it's from the paper itself, from the Press and Guide. I imagine from the editors and some of the people kind of pitch in on this. And they state that all 4 millage proposals are worthy of approval. So they're endorsing or recommending a yes vote on all the proposals. But we'll go into these. I'd like to read Mr. Myers' editorial verbatim, and then we can kind of cover the other ones a little bit faster. But it's very, very interesting. It's all I can say is these particular editorials are very balanced. So we're going to go in a little bit, but we'll get that in a second. I do want to give you the preview for Dearborn Heights. Boy, they really broke this down. So I guess I'm going to do it this way. Like I said, some of it may be redundant, but it says in Dearborn there are 18 candidates running or nine positions as elected officials, and 2 are running for mayor, 2 for city clerk, and 14. For the 7 available seats on council. Of course, Mayor John O'Reilly Jr. is challenged by Handyman. That's how they characterize Mr. Edward Binkley. O'Reilly has been mayor since 2006. In the race for city clerk, incumbent Kathleen Buddha is challenged by student services liaison Khalil Dakalala. Buddha is seeking her 5th term as city clerk. And the 14 candidates are vying for 7 seats on city council. Incumbents Tom Tafalsky, Robert Abraham, Mark Shushanian, David Bazzi, and Brian O'Donnell are running for re-election. And they're joined on the ballot by Jane Ahern, Tarek Baydoun, Susan DeBaja, Stephen Dobkowski Jr., Sharon Domage, Patrick Melton, Colette Richards, Mike Serini, and Kristen Taylor. We talked about the 3 proposals on the ballot for Dearborn Public Schools and HFCC. And, okay. Oh, in Dearborn Heights, there are 9 candidates running for 7 positions as elected officials. 2 are running for mayor, 5 for city council, 1 for city clerk, and 1 for city treasurer. Those are all 4-year term, by the way. In the mayoral race, incumbent Daniel Pletko is opposed by Councilwoman Janet Badlow. Pletko has been mayor since 2004, so he's seeking his 3rd full term, and Badlow has been on council since 2001. Now, she does not win the election as for mayor. She won't be on council because her term officially ended, and she had to choose one or the other. Mm-hmm. The 5 candidates that are running to fill the 4 open spots on council, incumbents Thomas Berry, Marge Horvath, Joseph Kaczynski are running, as are business development manager Lisa Ferens and Bob Constant. Bob Constant, he previously served on the Dearborn Heights Council until 2006 when he was elected as a state rep. And Constant right now, I know, is he's an attorney. Practicing attorney, and his wife, Kim Constant, is my boss in the senior video department where I do in Dearborn Heights. Walter Pershevitz and John Riley. Walter Pershevitz is the city clerk, city treasurer John Riley, and they are running unopposed. So, let's see, and Riley's been treasurer since 2004. Okay. And then there is the proposal of 0.95 mil for the city libraries. So, and that's, okay, that's everything. That's everything that's going on in Dearborn and Dearborn Heights regarding the upcoming election and the candidates and the issues. We're going to go to a non-commercial break in a second. But before I do that, before I forget, remember, because we're going to talk about some opinions in the next segment, the opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of anyone here at the college or in the community. We're just sharing our opinions, and we believe that they're tasteful and you know, based on accurate information. So with that said, I am going to go to a couple non-commercial breaks, and we'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Give my regards to Broadway. Remember me to Herald Square. Tell all the gang on 42nd Street that I will soon be there.
I'm Joe, host of The Best of Broadway. Every Tuesday from 2 to 4 p.m., we bring you the score of a Broadway musical as well as individual theatrical numbers. For the best in musical theater and theatrical music, join me and the gang on 42nd Street for The Best of Broadway, Tuesdays from 2 to 4 p.m. here on WHFR.FM, the station making waves.
Give my regards to old Broadway and say that I'll be there ere long.
The healthcare industry will continue to be one of the largest employers of college graduates. More jobs are expected to be with nursing than any other occupation. Are you ready to make a difference in the world? Are you looking for an education and career that has advancement? Right now, there is a high demand for nurses, both male and female. Breaking into the nursing career means getting an education. Henry Ford Community College offers an associate's degree in the nursing program. All graduates can acquire full-time employment upon passing the licensing examination for registered nurses. For more information, please call 313-845-6300. Once again, that's 313-845-6300. Or look us up on the web at hfcc.edu. Henry Ford Community College. The right education right now.
My name is Joe Thompson. I'm 29 years old and I have a career that I love as a systems analyst. Career. It still sounds cool to say that word. I never could have gotten on this path without a college degree. And if the college me were here, he'd tell you.
I never would have gotten to college without big brothers, big sisters. I could have ended up anywhere, on the streets even. But college? Joe Thompson? Not likely. My big brother helped me out. He taught me I could do anything. At a time when a lot of people were saying just the opposite.
And to a 7-year-old, that means a lot. My big brother's name is Phil. And Phil is the reason that this 7-year-old grows up to be a systems analyst.
Whether you donate money or time, you're helping big brothers, big sisters help a child. And that can last a lifetime. Start something today at bigbrothersbigsisters.org. Brought to you by Big Brothers Big Sisters and the Ad Council.
Thank you.
it's not Bones. It's not, but it's this is actually a song, John, that I had a show on the forum, Tuesday Forums, and two friends of my daughter, Mitch and Anthony, created this song that's called Put Me on the Radio, so I like to use it, and I don't have the other stuff at my disposal. Anyway, so we'll pad that down. We are back. This is the second segment of the new WHFR Journal. I'm Dennis Reimers. I'm here with John Conroy, and we're talking Dearborn politics. Not just politics, but the candidates, as well as some of the issues, the ballot issues, and something that's going on. And this is an article. This is, in fact, by Bob Oliver, Dearborn Times Herald. And it's HFCC, ready for public to vote on millage renewal and hike. And that's coming up again on the 5th. The two ballot proposals, let's see, I want to make sure. Oh, okay. The two ballot proposals would equate to 4 mills, with 1 mill of that being new taxes. This is important because I'm going to give you a little bit of background. Anybody that isn't aware of this, when we're done, John's going to read the editorial. Somebody that's challenging at least the second millage, the new one that would be new taxes, and saying that he doesn't know if it's such a good idea. And the other 3 mills will be 2 renewals that are set to expire in December 2014. One part is a 2.5 mil levy that is renewable every 10 years, and the other is a 0.5 mil levy that is renewable every 5 years. Basically, they would put those together, and that these levies would generate $10 million annually for the college. It states here the extra mill would cost $3.75 a month to a homeowner with a home valued at $90,000. Which is the median value of a home in Dearborn. So basically, and then we have had Becky Chadwick on the show, and she talked about it. And again, we're not endorsing this. We're not telling people to vote one way or the other. What we want to do, John and I, is give as much information as we possibly can, direct you to sources of even more information, if that's what you need, to make an intelligent and wise decision. You know, wise is a relative term, and in this case, intelligent as well. But the fact is that these are very important issues, and we're going to talk about it. I want, John, could you read that? It's the editorial. It's what's the gentleman's name, Mr. Myers?
Yes, this is an editorial by Carl Myers. It's from in the BR Guest column, titled "Vote No on Community Colleges Proposal 2. When do you say no to a $16.5 million tax increase for seniors, families, and businesses? I say right now. I'm voting no on the Proposal 2 tax increase and think that you should too. In reviewing the ballot in the upcoming election, I saw that Henry Ford Community College is asking for a millage renewal of 3.0 mils, calling Proposal 1 and a new millage tax increase of 1 mil for 5 years, Proposal 2. It is the 1 mil tax increase I'm most concerned about. Dearborn is still struggling, and this tax increase will extract some $16.5 million out of the local economy from seniors, families, and businesses at the worst possible time. Voting no on Proposal 2 is just common sense. Supporters of Proposal 2 marginalize the cumulative effect of this increase by pushing that this is only 1 mil, just $1 per thousand of value. Let's not kid ourselves. It adds up to a big tax increase, possibly forever. Furthermore, the proponents add that this is just for 5 years. Do you want to bet that if Proposal 2 passes, that in 5 years it will turn into a renewal? You bet it will, just like Proposal 1. They always do. I am troubled that HFCC is asking for this tax increase at this time. It was reported that enrollment this fall dropped by some 23%, while revenues were down only 16%. Lower enrollment should mean lower costs. One would think so. I'm almost angered that HFCC and Dearborn Public Schools are wasting valuable taxpayers' money by spending thousands of dollars to send out mailings urging voters to support the HFCC Proposal 2 tax increase. First from the Board of Education, and then from HFCC, supporting calling it a restoration, not a tax increase. That's right, they're spending taxpayer money urging voters to approve a tax increase to relieve a financial condition the college created. The lax financial and admissions controls at HFCC are well documented. In April of this year, the college's auditor reported a $12 million in unpaid debt, and recently President Stan Jansen announced the college had closed a $16 million deficit. HFCC leadership attributed most of the financial challenges to abuses of Pell Grant awards. Students would apply, show up for a while, and then take the extra grant money and run. This fraud was so widespread that at HFCC that it has its own name, Pell Runner. Where were the financial controls? Where were the admissions controls? And now HFCC wants a bailout? I believe strongly in HFCC and its academic mission. It is a tremendous institution with a long history of academic success. The college fills a gap that is badly needed with a multitude of issues facing K through 12 education in Dearborn and across the Detroit metro area. And it's wonderful to avail high school students the opportunity to take classes, be better prepared for college, and reduce the cost of their higher education. I'm a supporter of the College Foundation. What I don't support is its over-the-top use of scare tactics to win voter approval. At a recent forum, Jensen told the audience the college could be in danger of closing its doors if voters say no. This fear-mongering talk is disingenuous to the residents who have supported HFCC for generations. He went on to say, "We have already cut our expenses. We're as lean as we can get." Really? Then why is HFCC now guaranteeing course offerings with a no-cancellation policy, as reported in the Dearborn Press and Guide? This could mean classes with one student. Is this the most efficient way to deliver the academic mission in the most cost-effective way? No. It is high time for HFCC's leaders to have an honest conversation with themselves and the resident stakeholders about the institution. Should HFCC right-size itself to live within the financial means? Is having our own captive community college a luxury we can't afford? Have strategic options of combining services with Oakland Community College or Schoolcraft been explored? Too many questions and not enough answers to award HFCC more taxpayer money. Dearborn is a wonderful community with a storied history and a premium brand of low taxes, great schools, and even better services. We used to be best in class in all three areas to compete for business and residents with other communities. Raising taxes and giving more money to the HFCC won't move us forward. Dearborn is on the road to recovery. We can get there, but not by burdening the seniors, families, and businesses with even more taxes. No, it is not the time to pile a $16.5 million tax increase on Dearborn residents and businesses. I'm voting no on HFCC Proposal 2 tax increase and ask that you do also.
All right. That's it, huh?
That's it. Yep.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Myers. Seriously, he. It's a well-written editorial. At the same time, there are some things that I don't know that they're completely accurate. For example, he says that, can I look at that really quick? Our particular situation is not only because of the so-called quote-unquote Pell Runners. Yes, that contributed to it because the school was on the hook for money that they have to either get back from the students or they have to, they've already paid it. The money's already gone, and so if they don't recoup it from the students, it's a loss. I get that. But you're talking about a perfect storm here. In 2008, the economy went south. It went south so bad that my wife and I both lost our jobs. We found ourselves back here at school for the first, we're back after 20 years away. Mm-hmm. You know, the first time around in college when we were of what, quote-unquote, college age,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
So here it is 20 years later, we're going to school with our kids. The property values, because the school gets funding from the property taxes, tuition, and some state funding. The majority of that, though, especially when the economy went down and the values went down with it, that means less taxes. So the tax base was lower, thus they got less money from the that particular stream of revenue.
Certainly.
They had a lot more students because people like myself went back to school, but which would factor in the Pell Runners. Obviously, they're part of that group that came back. But the majority of us probably, I paid mine. I did what I needed to do, and I think there are a lot of people that did.
Yes.
There was, you got to remember something at that time. John, I don't know, you've been in this area for a while, but we had some major, major growth, not only mean just in student population, I mean growth on the campus itself. We had to completely redo the parking lot at great expense. I mean, it was not cheap. And at the same time, they made things more green while they were doing that. In other words, they put in the rain gardens and all of the different things that make it really extremely environmentally friendly. We have new buildings. We have a whole new science building. We have a new welcome center that used to be the SME building.
Yep.
My point is that a lot of money went out, money that was coming in from the increased tuition, increased student population was offset by the fact that their the property taxes were lower, and the state funding went down as well. So all I'm saying is that Mr. Myers has some good points here, but there's more to it than just that. And I'm sure that, you know, if he had more space and more time and the desire, he could have included everything else. It's just, there was one other thing I wanted, reason why I wanted to grab this. I'm sorry, really quickly. So I'm just saying that, I mean, he's pointing it to this, he says it's the school's fault that this happened, a problem that they created. Yes and no. Could they have monitored things more carefully? I'm sure in hindsight, we would do a lot of things differently. But there were a lot of other things that came together at the same time, too. This is it right here. He's talking about HFCC now guaranteeing course offerings with a no cancellation policy. Jay and I went over this last week. We weren't sure, and I still haven't got an answer for it, exactly at what point, because they could cancel it up to a certain point, and then they say that after that point, no matter how many students, they won't cancel it. So I think that if they see a trend that it'll be low, maybe they can do something ahead of time. I still want to find out more about that, and I do want to have somebody on here regarding not only admissions, but all the things that are necessary to be a student here. So we're going to have that in the next couple weeks. And we'll get into this. A lot of things that are going on at the college in addition to being able to enroll. So we're going to cover that probably in the fourth segment of the show today. Interestingly, though, we're going to take a short break before we cover the other editorials, John, but the editorial response from the newspaper, from the Press and Guide, is quite different.
Yes, it is.
But at the same time, they do talk about when they give their recommendation to vote yes on the HFCC proposals, they say that they consider our endorsement of these proposals, the second especially so, as a calculated yet cautious investment in the future of our children. So I thought that was an interesting way to word it. We're going to take a short break. Then when we come back, we're going to finish up on the topic of the schools. We'll get into a little more stuff that's going on with the city of Dearborn. If we have time, we'll talk a little bit about the candidates, because there were some interesting things that they said in the city council candidate Q&A. So we're going to touch on that, and then we'll finish up the show today. The last segment will be about stuff that's going on here at the college. And I can't do a show without including food, so we'll talk about the holiday buffet that's coming up and the best way to get reservations. Anyway, until then, we're going to please stay tuned through these non-commercial break, and we'll be back.
This is Go Mike Holloway inviting all of you loyal listeners to shake that thing with those rock and blues on the Go With The Flow Mike Holloway show every Tuesday afternoon from 4 to 6 p.m. right here on WHFR.FM, the station making waves. Yeah! Ow! Take it, baby, you sure looking good. Take it, baby, I know you could. Oh, I love the way you shake it. I love the way you shake it.
WebAdvisor, a program allowing students and staff access to college-related information. Through WebAdvisor, you are able to register for classes, view grades, track financial aid, print class schedules, and much more. Log into WebAdvisor by going to my.hfcc.edu/webadvisor or from the homepage, hfcc.edu.
This is the sound of a brand new outdoor grill being hurled off a 20-story building. Now a stylish glass coffee table. An electric guitar. These are the things you could enjoy all cast into oblivion. Because when you throw away money on wasted electricity, you throw away everything you could have bought with it. Visit EnergySavers.gov and get tips on how to save energy and money. Then do things like switch to Energy Star light bulbs or Energy Star appliances, and you could save hundreds of dollars a year. So this doesn't happen to the recliner you've had your eye on, or this to the treadmill on your wish list, or this to the shiny new bike your kid's been asking for. Saving energy saves you money. Learn more at energysavers.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
That's right, that's Put Me on the Radio. Not to be confused with Bones. Let's pod this down. So before our short break there, we talked a little bit about, or we went, I'm sorry, John read the well-written, I can't say I completely agree, but the well-written editorial from Mr. Carl Myers. And John is going to highlight some of this. I really don't believe that this editorial from the paper is a direct response to Mr. Myers. I think this was probably done beforehand. It just makes sense that they would put it on the same page. And to me, it gives this particular topic, the ballot proposals, it gives this complete balance. So what are some of the highlights, especially sure. This first one? I think the first one directly is directly related to HFCC, right?
Right. Yes. It's all four millage proposals are worthy of approval is the title on this editorial.
Right.
And it's from this 30th Press and Guide. In addition to electing new city officials, voters in almost all of Dearborn and part of Dearborn Heights will be asked to decide the fates of the three ballot proposals, two of which affect Henry Ford Community College. The first, of millage renewal, would continue a three-mill collection for 10 years. Money collected under the millage would fund operation expenses at the college. The second is a tax increase. The college is asking for an additional $1 million for 5 years. College officials have said the increase will replace funding lost since the 2008 economic collapse that Dennis was just speaking about. Like most other units of government and school districts in southeastern Michigan, HFCC has seen its funding drop as property values continue to languish. And like most other community colleges in the region, HFCC has been forced to adapt and make cuts in light of funding losses. The second proposal's increase would cost the average district homeowner about $45 annually. Factor in the renewal, and the annual figure would be about $180. That said, we were more than a bit disappointed to hear college leaders say the college would close without the millage increase.
See, this is interesting because this is where... this is where Mr. Myers got my attention. It was a the sky is falling scenario. That's how I heard it. I heard I'm not saying from the top officials, but by the time it filtered down to me, I heard things like we being HFCC would be just swooped up by Wayne County Community College. I heard the padlock the doors. Any really really negative thing, the worst possible things you can think of. That's what I heard, and I think that came from the statement that you touched on. And they said that Mr. Jensen said we may have to, there's a possibility that we have to close our doors.
There's a chance. Yes,
yeah, there's a chance. Yeah. And whether he said it in such a way, because I wasn't there, but that's what people heard, and that's what was passed along. You know,
people kind of jumped on that, and
wouldn't you though? I mean, because that is people. That's what out of all of the things you could say, you tend to pick out the most not glamorous,
the headline grabbing sentence. You know?
Right, and that really is something. So you know, we have to close our doors if we don't. Well, it isn't quite that bad, and I think that the way that the editorial tempers it is nice. And I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
That's okay. Officials have said that the tax increase will fund student services and technology endeavors, both of which we hope will turn the tide of declining enrollment. We, like the rest of the taxpayers in the college's district, will be watching carefully to make sure the money is spent as such. Consider our endorsement of these proposals, the second especially so, as a calculated yet cautious investment in the future of our children. HFCC provides a valuable service to district residents. We encourage a yes vote on both proposals.
Okay, and that's the editorial from the Dearborn Press and Guide. And then do they not touch on one more with the Dearborn Public Schools?
Sir, okay. Yes, we talk about the Dearborn Public Schools are asking voters to approve a $1.23 million assessment to a finance payments on a $76 million bond issue that would be repaid in no more than 21 years. It replaces an expiring bond, so homeowners would not see any tax increase if the measure is passed.
Okay. I know we had Dave Mustonen, who was the spokesperson public relations guy, just all around great guy, actually, for Dearborn Public Schools, along with the superintendent, Brian Whiston. Had them on not that long ago. And folks, I know that the regular listeners might be out there going, oh, come on, we've talked about nothing but this. Well, the vote is Tuesday. And honestly, we feel, and we're not alone because the papers are backing us up. They're giving us all this information. But we feel that this is probably the most important thing to be talking about today with the elections coming up on Tuesday, because so many of these issues have far-reaching ramifications. Without a millage, will we have to close our doors? There's a possibility, but not a probability. But the fact is that things would suffer here without the money. But like Mr. Myers said, there might be other options, right? So I guess what I'm saying is that we're not telling people what to do either way, but we want to make sure that you realize that the consequences on whatever vote, yes or no, or even for candidates for that matter, could have far-reaching ramifications. I know that the talk, I was at the I don't know if you know this, John, but I do work for WDHT, the TV station in Dearborn Heights. And part of my jobs include doing a lot of the events that I cover. I tape and edit the events that the seniors have. And then there's senior Halloween party at the Eaton Senior Center yesterday. And I was there, and it was really, outside of a great time, great food, a great entertainer. The guy was kind of a Vegas lounge act kind of thing, and he hit, and he was really into the big band, and he sang Dean Martin, Frank Sinatra, I can't think of other ones from that age. Tony, or what's his name? You Can Leave Your Hat On.
Tony Bennett.
No, not Tony Bennett, but he did Tony Bennett, Robert Goulet, but You Can Leave Your Hat. Tom Jones? Yeah, he did. I mean,
Bing Crosby?
He didn't do Bing.
No.
But he, when I say he did these, he sang the songs, sounded exactly like the original artist, and he got out in the crowd, and these seniors loved him. It was wonderful. But the point of all this is that I got a chance to, we eat dinner, or we eat lunch before we do the taping, because I'm not going to tape the people eating. That's just not good TV. But I do sit down and I eat with them, and I bounced around a little bit yesterday just to kind of do an informal poll on the upcoming election. And boy, I'll tell you what, the results, unscientific poll, the results were quite incredible. Mm-hmm. As far as widespread. A lot of people remember that when Janet Badlow, and it seems to me in hindsight now, because this would have been about a year ago, maybe more, it was more than a year ago, maybe she didn't have aspirations for running for mayor at the time, because she was very much in favor, when they were looking at cost-cutting measures in the city, she was very much in favor of closing one or both of the senior centers. Mm-hmm. Well, these are very vibrant, dynamic places. They're busy every day, and they're used by everybody, not just on a daily basis, but they do other things too. They go on trips. They do have events like this, the Halloween parties and the Christmas parties. They had a flea market last weekend. They have stuff coming up. So, and for people that are over the age of 60, and believe me, I met people, every day I talk to people that are in their 70s, 80s. Max, my good friend Max, is 90. His 90th birthday party, not that long ago. The point is that these facilities are used, and a lot of people would find it very negative if they were closed. Now, Janet Badlow, and again, I'm not insinuating anything. I'm not implying anything. She's just, I think maybe she saw something. She saw how much people were in favor of these. Politically, it would be silly to have that have that on your platform now. It would be silly to promote closing something to save money. You know what I mean? That would just wouldn't work. And I think because she makes her office hours, she has her office hours at the facilities as well as the libraries. I think she sees now how much, you know, the people are utilizing this space. But I just think it's really interesting that, you know, a year ago was one stance. So I'm talking to these people, and she said, one lady says, well, Janet Badlow is going to close the senior center, so I can't vote for her. And I said, well, I don't know if that's still the case. I know that was one of the things she proposed for as a cost-cutting measure, but I don't know if she's still in favor of that. In fact, I'm pretty sure she's not. And somebody else said, well, I think we need change, and the change has to start at the top, which would mean Mayor Pletko. So I heard all of these different things, and I have to tell you, I came away with it as an undecided. It was about 50-50 from the people that I talked to. So it's so hard to tell.
Right.
And people vote the way they do for so many different reasons. You know, sometimes it's very a personal thing. Sometimes it's very just based on all the facts. And this is what I believe, and I'm more aligned with these candidates than others. So there's a lot of different reasons. And again, our purpose is to get that information out.
Well, I've certainly been active with Downriver senior centers and seen the growth and explosion of how many seniors are participating in a lot of different activities. And it's so encouraging to see. And they come out and they have smiles on their faces. now where they used to have frowns.
Well, and that's the thing. I mean, this is they're around their friends. They're around people with similar interests, probably. You know, and it's not just, I'm not trying to be funny. It's not just bingo. It's not, you know what I mean? There's a lot of different things. At these events, like yesterday, there are more than a handful of people up and dancing. That's pretty cool. You know?
It is. I run a senior citizens program that has, we play ping pong with the seniors 3 days a week.
Yeah.
And you'd be surprised that we have ages up to 85 playing their hearts out.
That's awesome. And well, they just had the Senior Olympics recently. They put in new horseshoe pits. I'm a huge horseshoe fan.
I got a silver medal in the horseshoes in my age category.
Did you really?
I sure did.
In the Senior Olympics?
In the Senior Olympics.
John, I would not. I don't, I'm looking at him right now, and I honestly wouldn't have thought that you would qualify as a senior. So good. Good for you. So maybe you're the ringer, no pun intended. Oh, brother. Anyway, I want to say this one more time. I'm not putting words in Janet Badalow's mouth. I'm not, and my opinion is not that she is in favor or not in favor of closing the senior centers. I'm just telling you that at the time they were looking to make cuts, that was one of the things she had brought up as a cost-cutting measure. And there was, as you can imagine, just a ton of resistance to that. And people have long memories. That's what this lady said. She said, does she think I don't remember because I'm old? And I said, no, I'm sure that's not how she feels.
No.
But anyway, so that's why we want to make sure people get the most information they can. Before we go to a non-commercial break, and then I know when we come back, we're going to cover a lot of the things that are going on here at the college, because now is the time if you want to enroll. It started like 2 days ago, or 3 days ago, where you could enroll. We want to make sure that today is the last day that you can get your FAFSA for winter terms. So that means if you want a Pell Grant or any kind of financial aid, you have to have that FAFSA, which stands for, what does it stand for? I don't either. It's on my sheet of paper, my notes there. But it's basically that you go online and fill out this application. It's a federal financial aid application. That's what FAFSA is.
Yes.
And if you don't get it in today, there's no way you can qualify in time to use it for winter term. So we'll talk about that. But this, John, really blew me away. Did you hear about the website? It's called the National Report, America's number one independent news team. And they put up the title of the article is City in Michigan First to Fully Implement Sharia Law.
I've heard that.
You did hear that.
Yes.
I'll just read the very, very beginning. It says, in a surprise weekend vote, the City Council of Dearborn, Michigan voted 4-3 to become the first U.S. city to officially implement all aspects of Sharia law. The tough new law, slated to go into effect January 1st, addresses secular law, including crime, politics and economics, as well as personal matters such as sexual intercourse, fasting, prayer, diet, and hygiene. The new law could see citizens stoned for adultery or having a limb amputated for theft. Lesser offenses such as drinking alcohol or abortion could result in flogging and or caning. In addition, the new law imposes harsh laws with regard to women and allows for child marriage. So I didn't hear this. I heard about it after the fact. Because what happened... This came out on Sunday, and I'll read the city's response. This is on DearbornPatch.com. On Sunday, the National Report, a satirical website that posts stories with headlines such as Woman Possessed by Demon After Signing Up for Obamacare, and CDC Report Reveals Existence of Zombies. This particular website published an article claiming that Dearborn has become the first U.S. city to fully implement Sharia law. The story quickly made its way around the internet, garnering nearly 90,000 shares on Facebook, shares being somebody passing it along to their group of their social network. And it seems many people did not understand the joke. According to the city of Dearborn, City Hall employees have received multiple phone calls from people asking whether the story is true. The city has responded to these questions by sending out the following press release. A satirical website called The National Report intentionally made up an article for entertainment purposes on Sunday, October 27th, about the city of Dearborn enacting Sharia law over the weekend. The article is false. That's in bold, bold print. The article is false. Dearborn is not under Sharia law and has never at any time even considered such an action. This is a quote from Mayor O'Reilly. Dearborn has never been nor ever will be under Sharia law. We are governed by the U.S. Constitution, the Constitution of the State of Michigan, and the City of Dearborn Charter. So we are a city named after a Revolutionary War hero. We have lost loyal Dearborn American military service personnel in every war, and we are guaranteed, and this country has fought to protect the individual rights, we are guaranteed through the U.S. Constitution. So he goes on to dispute it. Some of the comments in the comment section, and I have to tell you, I love reading Dearborn Patch because it is online only, and so you tend to, there's more, if somebody's going to respond, they can't respond necessarily to a letter. They could, but the comments are a real readily easy way to do it. And some of them were just like, they believed this was true, and they were rallying against it with all their fiber, fiber of their being.
Right. Yep.
I mean, it's, I don't know if you know this. No, you probably don't. But I used to have a satire publication, and I did it for the restaurant industry. And I would, it was something like, I'll give you an example of a title. Waitress having affair with a manager still couldn't get the weekend off.
No.
It was all in fun.
Right.
You know, and yep. but if you read the article, I did have somebody come up to me after they read it, and he said, what if this guy's wife reads this? And yeah. I said, it's a joke. It's not real. Oh. See, so these things, that does happen. It happens all the time where people take something that's completely and for entertainment purposes and intended to be completely tongue-in-cheek, and they take it seriously. Sometimes problems start that way, too, you know? We are going to... You know what, John? I don't know that we even have time for a break because it's already going on 10-2. So if you don't mind, I want to go right into the stuff that's going on at the college.
Certainly.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, and there was... I'm sorry. There's one other thing that's just vital for me to talk about that's not necessarily college-related, although it is indirectly. The farmer's market, the Dearborn Farmer and Artisans Market, which goes from basically Memorial Day through the middle of October. The open-air market that's every Friday from, what is it, 10 to 2 p.m.?
Right, yes, sir.
By the Bryant Library there?
Right by the library.
Yeah, you were there with us when we did the remote.
Yes, and excellent foodstuffs in that.
Oh, you're not kidding. Well. So that's over with, that particular one. But for the first time ever, the Dearborn Farmer and Artisans Market will be open during the fall and winter months. According to this article in the Press Guide by Laura Hipshire, the new market will be located in the Ford Community and Performing Arts Center in the Hubbard Ballroom. And then the first winter market is November 17th. It will feature a host of local products, including holiday gift baskets. I'm sorry, this is brilliant. This is a brilliant idea.
I think it's a great idea as well.
And a farmer's market manager, Maureen McElrath, who was also, she also ran for city council and was a staff member here at WHFR for a little while. She said, this is an extension of something we are already doing. She said, we'll be featuring a lot of local products. There's a big push right now to buy locally in order to put money back in the community. She said that they've had a good response from vendors wanting to come out, and consumers are excited about it because in the winter there's not a whole lot going on. Vendors such as Wilcole Gourmet Kettle Corn, North Star Candle Company, Bling Is In, that's handcrafted jewelry, and a few other ones, Scotty O'Hattie, they'll be on hand, as well as holiday crafters selling items like homemade wreaths. Pookie the Clown will also be appearing to entertain the kids with face painting and balloons, and shoppers can browse the local wares in a warm environment free of slush and snow. And there will be performances by cooking demonstrations by Henry Ford Community College. That is a possibility. And a performance by the Dearborn High School Choir. The Artisans Market will be held the third Sunday of every month through April. The first market begins from 11 to 4, November 17th. And let's see. And it's at the Hubbard Ballroom at the Ford Community and Performing Arts Center, 15801 Michigan Ave in Dearborn. Vendor tables are available for $30 in advance, $40 at the door. So, again, the first market, November 17th, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m., the Hubbard Ballroom in the Ford Community Performing Arts Center, and that'll be the third Sunday of every month through April. That is so cool. I really like that. What did you say, George? Yeah, maybe we could do a remote broadcast from it. You know what? That's a great idea. And we'll be indoors, so we won't have to worry about anything. Yeah, there's a few people we can talk to about that. I'm going to reach over here really quick. There we go, and grab... Boy, we have all this stuff on. I want to tell people, as far as resources go, we printed out some of these things, Dearborn City Council Q&A, and I wanted to touch on some of them because some of the answers were interesting. Go to the Pressing Guide, pressingguide.com, and it's there. In fact, if you click on news, it'll bring up a list of headlines, and one of them, this is where I got it, was City Council Candidate Q&A. I didn't print it all. It was like 14 pages long, but it basically... it sent out, ask candidates to submit information about themselves and then answer two questions. And there's the responses from almost everybody. I don't think it was everybody. The 9 challengers and 5 incumbents. There you go. So there's 14 people that did respond. And that's almost all. So anyway, we have, take a look at that because it's a lot to read, but it'll really give you a good idea of what these guys are about because it's not necessarily limited by words. I know that a lot of times the Lewin voters will ask questions, but you have to summarize it in about 100 words. That's tough to do, you know?
Well, and it's interesting to see these people's personal backgrounds. That really goes a lot into why they go out for these positions.
Exactly. Oh, the motive behind it.
Sure.
Exactly. Yeah. What? And when we have him on the show, the challengers on the show, that's Jay was great about this. One of the first questions he's asked is why are you doing this? Mm-hmm. And do you agree with the mayor? Most people said on some things and some things they don't, but they like to make up their own mind. So that's good. But like you said, this gives age, family status, background, education, as well as work experience.
And it's also encouraging to see that some of these candidates were Henry Ford Community College students.
Absolutely. And there are a lot of people, if not here, that they stayed in the area and went next door to U of MD. So yeah, there's a lot. Speaking of a lot, there's a lot of stuff going on at the college. I want to bring this up. This is a must read for us here at the college, or at WHFR. It's the winter 2014 registration. 2014. I was thinking that can't be right, but yeah, it starts in January. In fact, it starts January 12th. That's the last day of regular registration is January 12th, but the classes actually begin Monday, January 13th. Okay, so mark your calendars. The winter 2014 schedule will be available online beginning October 14th, so it's been on already. You can visit hfcc.edu webadvisor. hfcc.edu/webadvisor, and you click search for sections in the lower right hand corner of the screen. It's down on the right, and a login is not required to search. You can see everything on there. It opened midnight on October 28th, so it was just a couple days ago, and that's why we're bringing it up now. So the schedule is, oh, I'm sorry, I read this wrong. The schedule was available to review online since the middle of the month, but registration just opened on the 28th, and then the last day of regular registration is January 12th. Again, you can click on search for sections in the lower right-hand corner, and a login is not required. And this coincides with what we were saying. If you want to go to school here and you need financial aid and you haven't done it yet, you haven't filled out your FAFSA, you need to do that, and you have till today. So this is not, I mean, you don't have the luxury of the weekend. But as soon as you do that, you can start searching for classes, and you can find out your status from FAFSA relatively quickly. This is the financial aid priority deadline. It's FAFSA, actually, John, in case you want to know, it stands for Free Application for Federal Student Aid, FAFSA.
Very good. Thank you.
I'm really glad. And then the deadline is today, November 1st. All right. So cool. So you would just go to, you can go actually hfcc.edu/financial-aid/priority-deadline. So that's pretty cool.
Yes.
And then FAFSA is fafsa.ed.gov. There you go. All right. We're just flying through stuff here. We've got a few minutes left on the show. HFCC celebrates Veterans Day, November 11th. They're going to have a ceremony honoring veterans at 9:30 a.m. And that's going to be in the Welcome Center West Community Room. And then after the ceremony, it's going to be followed by a screening of the Emmy Award-winning documentary, Where Soldiers Come From. Dr. Lisa Krupp, HFCC Vice President of Student Affairs, will give the opening address. Okay, cool. So that's all kinds of stuff that's going on there. It's November 11th, 9:30 a.m. There's a ceremony, then the screening of the Emmy-winning Where Soldiers Come From. It's in the Welcome Center West Community Room. That's November 11th.
A great event, very good event.
And then we have Arab Cultural Studies program to host a screening and discussion of Scheherazade, Tell Me a Story, November 15th. That'll be, the screening takes place Friday, November 15th at 6:30 p.m. in the Michael Berry Amphitheater at the ASCC. That's the building right next. It's the big blue building with all the windows. Mm-hmm. Inside there is the Michael Berry Amphitheater. Again, that's Friday, November 15th at 6:30. And then there's actually a social hour before it, 5:30 to 6:30. Light refreshments will be available. And I don't think there's a cost. It's free and open to the public, but seating is limited. So you want to make a reservation. They are necessary. And you'll do that by emailing Dr. Michael Daher, the HFCC director of the Arab Cultural Studies program, at mdaher, D-A-H-E-R, that's M-D-H-E-R, at hfcc.edu. Got to sign up for that. Mm-hmm. And before we finish here, we have student athletes are going to perform community service November 12th. The athletes are conducting a youth education clinic through sports, YES, at O.L. Smith Middle School in Dearborn as part of the Michigan Community College Athletic Association Days of Service. That's Tuesday, November 12th. During the clinic, student athletes provide middle school students instruction in several areas. And apparently, this will be for both in women's teams of basketball. teams, and O.L. Smith administrators will select approximately 70 students to participate in the clinic. Each fall semester, each member of the MCCAA engages in a service project to benefit the local community. See, sports are doing that. For further information about this clinic, please contact my friend Rochelle Taylor. She's our athletic director here at the college at 313-317-4138. That's 313-317-4138. And I think that's if you either want a student to participate or if you want to get involved as an athlete to go out and help. I think they're actually... I'm not positive. Just call Rochelle. She'll let you know.
Well, that's just so encouraging to see that message getting to middle school students as well.
Oh, you're not kidding. Yeah, because you're right. It tends to stop at a certain level. But the further back we go, the better. And I've always maintained that I played hockey my whole life. I wasn't allowed to play football. My dad said that if you play football, the name of the game in football is to hurt the guy. That was his contention. And he was a high school quarterback. My dad was, and he got hurt pretty bad. So he knew what he was talking about. But I got to tell you, after playing 12 years of hockey, it wasn't a heck of a lot nicer, you know?
You still had some injuries.
Oh, you're not kidding. Sure. No. Yeah, but you know, my injuries all came, like, I was free skating. You know what I mean? Like, you went and paid a couple bucks, and you went and skated around the rink with your friends.
Okay.
Not hockey practice or anything. So you're not wearing any equipment. And that's when I fell. Hit my chin and needed stitches.
Well, how do you still have most of your teeth?
I have all of my teeth. That's right. Well, but remember when I played, we had to wear full cage masks and we had mouth guards. Mm-hmm. So yeah, they took care of us. Mm-hmm. It is 2 o'clock right now, and so the podcast will be out shortly. We're waiting to see what's happening for the next show. WHFR Dearborn. This is WHFR, the station making waves. I just wanted to finish on this thought. We talked about it. We teased people with the food thing. So let's finish, right? Mm-hmm. HFCC 5101 student run restaurant will host its annual holiday buffet Wednesday, November 13th. This is awesome. I'm going to read the menu. You ready?
I'm ready.
This is the holiday buffet.
Yes.
Roast turkey with pan gravy and bread dressing. Baked Dearborn brand ham glazed with brandied cherry sauce. Carved baron of beef au jus. Made to order omelet station for brunch only. And squash soup. The side dishes include mashed potatoes, sweet potatoes with pecan and maple glaze, and fall vegetable medley. Additionally, there will be a salad bar where customers can choose creamy coleslaw, cranberry relish, marinated beet salad, garden green salad and relishes, pickled vegetables, assorted salads, and house-made dressings. And then finally, the dessert. The following is available: pumpkin pie and then the pastry chef assortment. Beer and wine will be available at a cash bar during dinner hours. For the holiday buffet, the restaurant will be open from 10:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. for lunch and from 6 to 8 for dinner. So it's 6 to 8 p.m. for dinner. The price of the buffet is $16 per person, and reservations are recommended. For reservations and more information, please call the 5101 restaurant at 313-206-5101. That's 313-206-5101. Well, that is our
show. Sounds delicious.
Doesn't that? Have you gone to any of the
things? I have been to the two buffets. It was terrific.
Now, which one? Did you go to the holiday, or did you go to one of the ones where they went basically the themed ones after a country?
It was a themed Italian.
Oh, okay.
It was fantastic.
The only themed country-based or country-themed, I don't know what to call it, dinner I went to was for the Eastern European. Of course, I'm 100% Polish, and so some of the food was just amazing.
Delicious food. I'm half Irish and half German, so I had more than enough delectable things to have a sample of.
And you know what? You could be anything. You come out to these things, they're so awesome. They're so awesome that I know you didn't go away hungry.
Never.
No.
Never.
And that's a great place. $16 for all you can eat. And then again, the beer and wine, we do have our license here now. So that will be extra, though. Costs a little bit more because that's not part of the buffet. And I'm going to get this. Hold on 1 second. Joanna's here. I just